Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late. Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Coral Springs, and now you know.
We're the hottest show in this place.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3.
Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Hello and welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida and I'm joined today by John Levine.
We woke up pretty late this morning.
Yeah, it's really late today.
5:11, rough hangover.
Talia Brahms.
Good afternoon, everyone.
That's right. This is we are the independent podcast now. We're no longer on a network, no more WEI network, no more IRN network. We are just solely on the Wake Up Late
the
with Dougie
network.
Show. That's right.
Yeah.
Although Stitcher, they're trying to work something out because our episode, I don't know if you guys heard our episode that was on the site last week, but something happened when we edited the show, when I edited the show for somehow, it like pasted back on the second segment again.
Oh.
So it was like 2.5 hours long.
Oh, was it really?
Yeah, because like the third segment went on twice. And it was like weird because, you know, I cut and paste and I was editing it and somehow.
I like it was a somehow. Like Dougie didn't mess up and it was like somehow this is weird
well,
computer
somehow,
virus. Thing.
Fuck you, John.
Somehow
I messed it up, but it, you know, it didn't. You know, you're editing and stuff, and you think you're looking at something clean, and then you don't realize it was
right.
Yeah,
I got you. I got you.
Anyway, so so I had to do that, and the Stitcher said, "Oh, you know, you got to tell us how you're doing this. There was something really wrong with the episode, and they haven't put any on since the 12th or something like that. So I don't know. I got to find out what's going on. I got to write them again. But if not, hey, we'll be on iTunes. Of course, go to our website. Either way, I don't know how many people are listening to Stitcher anymore. Anyway.
Well, Stitcher's used by people who have Androids because they don't have iTunes. You know,
right.
they don't have the podcast app on their iPhone, so people who have Android use Stitcher as their podcasting app.
Oh, okay.
So it's important to have it on Stitcher.
Right. Well, all right. Well, hopefully those guys will message them back, and they said, you know, they wanted to know how I was run and how I uploaded it, what I was the hosting, and all this kind of stuff.
I've set up on Stitcher, like we're on Stitcher, my podcast, but I'm trying to remember, I mean, it was so long ago that I did it. Don't you just provide it like the same URL that you provide to iTunes?
Yeah.
And it just pulls it?
It pulls the feed. But for some reason, what will happen is that one episode last week on Tuesday, I guess.
Because it was double.
Because it was long. It's like, well, something was wrong because it says it's only this length, but it's really twice the length of the show.
I see what you're saying. So they were going by like what the description of the show said versus what it actually was.
Right. And so
you just tell them it was an accident.
That's what I told them. And they said, okay, well, we'll see if I can re-put it up. If not, so I'm going to write them back again and say, look.
We'll see if it gets pulled tomorrow. I mean, see if the episode right now gets pulled tomorrow.
That's the thing. The rest of the episodes that week didn't even go on. Now, we didn't have one on, we didn't do a show, unfortunately, on Thursday. Jody White and Cal Verducci were here in the studio.
Yeah.
And I had a virus.
Ooh.
On the computer that would thank God I got it taken care of. My buddy Mark last night came by and fixed everything. It took a few hours.
Yeah.
How'd you know?
Well, what happened was when we tried to record, I turned on the recorder and everything ready to record the episode. And it wouldn't register anything coming through.
Ooh.
The volumes would automatically be muted all the time.
Yeah.
And when you went to your, when I went to the
it was called the quiet virus.
Yeah, it's called Shut the Fuck Up.
Silent
Shut
killer.
The Fuck Dougie. Shut Dougie Up. And so something happened when I went to sound, the control panel on sound. It's like you go to like each of your whatever sound units or
inputs
you have, and it just muted. Everything kept going. Even though you adjust it, you went back, it would be muted.
And what was the funniest thing is I was on the other other end on my computer remoting in. Every time we would move it, I would move it back.
Yeah.
And then I would laugh. And then he would move it. And he kept.
I bet Doug called you right after. Something's wrong with my computer.
Yeah, well, I brought my computer. My computer's in my bag just in case something happens.
Well, it's not like John has a lot more to do than sit home and fuck
pretty
with
much. Just, that's all I do. Usually I masturbate to you. And then I think about
who wouldn't?
Yeah.
He was doing it at the time, hearing your voice.
Crying hysterically and masturbating to the thought of Dougie Almeida.
Well, that's the way it should be. Anyway, welcome, and we are here. So we are here, and you know, going through all that, I was like thinking to myself, you know what, fuck the show.
Yeah, that's what you said to me. You're like, I'm thinking about giving this all up. I'm like, just because your recorder won't work.
questioning my whole life.
I wish it was that simple.
I'm giving up comedy.
This damn mute button. Forget my dreams.
Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't want to bother. I was like at the point where I was like, you know what? This is getting time consuming and this and that. And I felt like, you know what? What good is this? You know, what's happening here? So, so
I don't know. I think it's popular. I think people like it. And I think it's a... Look, you know, I work in online marketing. So to me, any additional avenues you have to get your name out there,
right?
Any more content that's out there, the more content, the better. So it's like, I've got my podcast. I'm on this, which is now a podcast, was a radio show. You know, just putting stuff out there, the more there is. So if somebody's looking for you or if somebody's looking for somebody in South Florida, there's more out there for you to come up.
Yeah.
Yep. Just another avenue.
Yeah. Just another beacon. Just another voice out there.
Sure.
By the way, congratulations to Florida comic now in my now in New York, of course, Mike Lawrence, for winning the Comedy Central roast battle.
Oh, he did. Nice.
Everybody won the whole
thing. Yeah, I saw that. That was awesome.
Yeah, I watched a few of them. It was pretty cool. And
Comedy Central or?
Yeah.
Huh.
It was held at the Montreal Comedy Just for Last Comedy Festival in Montreal. And a lot of people on it. He beat Ralphie May.
Wow.
Yeah.
It was pretty. One of the funniest jokes was... I guess the most painful thing that, you know, one of the, Ralphie May got divorced, because one of the most painful things from Ralphie May's divorce was trying to take off his wedding ring.
That's funny. That's good.
That is funny.
Yeah.
And that got me thinking about roast jokes and things like that and writing stuff. And, you know, maybe we should have another roast.
Oh, well, so you've turned around now on the roasts.
Well, yeah. I mean, listen, what I was thinking about it was, okay, like I started thinking about everybody else in the comedy scene, because then Comedy Central, somebody posted something, I guess in Chicago they had one, which was just held in Chicago, and Colin Bohannon, which is a comic who used to be here, and now he moved back mm-hmm. to Chicago, he was on it, and a couple other people, so I wonder if they're going to go to other places around the country and try to, you know, I'm sure, though, like anything in South Florida, being a legitimate working comic, I still won't get in that list of people that participate in the fucking roast, I'm sure.
Yeah, but you were in the last one.
No, but that was... the Funky Buddha. I'm talking about one that Comedy Central comes in.
Oh,
you know, Comedy Central, like scouting.
Like, they come to South Florida to say, okay, we're going to get Florida comics to come and participate. And I'm sure they'll pick.
Well, with that kind of attitude, I guarantee you.
Yeah.
Think positively, Dougie.
Well, exactly. I always have thought positively, but then, you know, when it comes to being recognized by our South Florida comedy community, you know, they'll pick somebody else who's like an open micer, you know, that's kissing somebody's ass, and all of a sudden they'll be on there. That's the way it works. Anyway, so that's fun. Congratulations to Mike Lawrence for that.
Yes, congratulations.
And by the way, I had a great time in Snapper's Comedy Club in Palm Harbor, Florida. Had a great time working with Frank Del Pizzo. And it was the best part about it was at the end of the week. And this is a club that I had worked a couple times. And then 3 years, I hadn't been back. And I felt like, you know, when you don't work, that's the worst thing, when you don't go back to a club with no reason. You know what I mean?
Right. Feels weird.
Yeah, like, what the fuck, you know? Mm-hmm. And then, you know, after the weekend, the guy says, okay, I'm going to bump you to headliner because
nice.
You did a great job.
That's awesome.
So that was fun.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And now that means I'm making money. So what that also means is I get to bring somebody with me.
Sweet. So let me start kissing your ass now. Yeah, that's what you're saying.
I mean,
you
already masturbate to him. You're almost halfway there.
Yeah. Really. Well, that's how I masturbate. I'm masturbating, I'm kissing his ass, and I'm jerking off. Yeah,
exactly. Your dream come true.
This is making me nauseous just thinking about this.
I'm like, we're taking this pretty far.
We've taken this pretty far.
Kind of making me a little sick myself.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. Yeah.
I can't picture John laying in his bed, you know, jerking off, thinking of me.
Yeah. You know. Can I use your shower? I need to I need to scrub myself down like Silkwood.
Just don't give it a virus.
If I stop talking suddenly, if I'm muted, you know what happened.
That's right. And so it was kind of cool. I was thinking about this. We have open mics. Going to go to the Black Rose Pub tonight. I got an open mic, and I feel bad because I know that Tim Kirby, who runs it, is saying we got to get people there because they haven't had a good turnout.
Yeah, him and I were talking about the other day, and I don't even know if I should mention this because it might not, but, you know, football season's coming around. So you got Monday night, mm-hmm. which is like, it's going to be such a tough, you know, tough road to hoe, row to hoe.
Yeah, because Monday nights, you know, we used to do, one of the first venues I opened was at the Dubliner.
Yeah.
In Boca, in Meisner Park.
Yeah.
And we used to do it on Sunday nights.
Yeah, it's
tough. And we had like 2 months in a row where it was like, 2 months straight, the con was great. We had packed it in and there and everything.
And then football started.
And
there was nobody there.
There was nobody coming.
Yeah.
It's kind of how it works.
Yeah, you can't go against football.
Because Sunday, not only that, even if you make it late enough, people are out drinking all day.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
And then who are they going to go out at night to watch a show?
Football season changes everything.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, even at Jordan Garnett's old room, Alabama Joe's, a huge sports bar. And, I mean, you would think people would go there to watch football, and it was still empty on football.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well,
yeah, I used to play in a softball league, and they were like, "Hey, we're doing it on Sunday afternoons." I'm like, "Well, I'm not playing anymore."
Yeah, he fucking has a softball league on Sunday, you know. It's but they used to Mills Pond over in Oakland Park. They used to do Sunday league.
Yeah,
but it was different. But anyway, so I'm gonna go out there. I'm working on. I threw up one of my new bits called Flaco Gordo. You know, it's like I go into this little character thing. I'm Flaco Gordo. Hmm. I like the Oreos, but the thin one. You know.
Okay. Just being Doug, basically?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Okay. A little outrageous, you know, personality thing. And Frank Del Pizzo loved it. He goes, "I love it." Yeah, and they were writing different stuff, like different things to say. You
nice.
Know? "I like women with big titties, but little waist." You know, just always keeps coming back. And so now I got some stuff for the open mic, you know, I want to work on.
Did you want to work on?
You know, and that kind of stuff.
Nice.
Anything going on on your weekend? Did you?
This last weekend?
No, 13 weekends ago. What did it happen? Yeah,
you were a little ambiguous in that statement.
No, did you have anything interesting this weekend happen to you? Anything you know?
I mean, it was my fiance's birthday. We went to Jupiter. Nothing. I did spend the whole weekend with our friend's infant son, and it officially made me really reconsider if I want kids.
Yeah, that'll do that.
Yeah, yeah. Totally interrupted everything the whole weekend and.
And to clarify, Jupiter's a city in Florida.
That's correct, not the planet, yes.
Yeah, you guys didn't make it there
on
the weekend. No. You know, there's some asshole going, "She went to fucking Jupiter?" Yeah,
need to read a textbook. Don't
go to Jupiter. If you're going to go there, you go to Europa. That's the nice place.
Yeah, that's supposedly where they're, you know.
Saturn's moon, right?
No, that's
Jupiter's moon.
Is that Jupiter's moon?
A lot of people think that that's the moon where life may have started.
Yeah, Titan.
Really?
And Mars are the moon of Jupiter.
If you want to see a really good movie... the Europa Report.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can get it like on Netflix or Hulu or whatever. It's really good. Because it was this they made this movie and they worked with NASA to make it like super realistic. So like everything, like the space travel and all the stuff that they use. But it's about like a mission to Europa to discover life. Mm. And it was really good.
Oh, that is cool.
Yeah.
So babysitting will make you think, you know.
He was just around the whole weekend because, you know, our friends have children. So we're like, yeah, bring him. It's fine. And then, you know, it's not fine. No.
Yeah. Well, it's 8 o'clock. Got to turn in. Got to get the kid. You know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Well,
it's 6 a.m. and someone's crying. I guess we're all up now.
Right. Well, you had to watch. You had to watch a dog, huh? A puppy. Yeah.
A non-housebroken puppy.
What the fuck?
Which is essentially the same thing that we both went through this weekend.
Oh, well, at least, you know.
Well, now you can kick a puppy.
You can't put a diaper on it. Oh, that's true.
Not saying that I kicked the puppy, but I
did. Who said I didn't kick the baby?
You could smack a puppy in the face with a newspaper, you know.
You could do this to both.
Yeah, you technically can do it to both. You get in a lot more trouble, though, with the kid, I think.
Right, yeah. Well, and you know, you guys, you took care of a dog. You know, you watch a dog for somebody, and you had somebody's kid there.
Yes.
I had one of my siblings contact me this weekend asking to move in with me.
Hmm. Oh.
Is this the one that, I know there's a sibling that you don't talk to anymore. Was this that one?
There's one that him and his wife, I just don't,
right.
I just don't even deal with anymore. And this one, he's had issues and stuff, and he hasn't been working, and he's been complaining because he can't, he's got anxiety, and he suffers. He seems to be a lot like my mother, like dealing with that bipolar shit. And it was very much like my mom growing up. I couldn't make a decision,
Spanish
very indecisive. You know what I mean? And so my sister-in-law, I don't talk to, calls me and says, "Oh, he's going
to
call you because
he's
not working and he's this and that." And so he contacts me and I'm like, "Look, man, I can't, I'm not going to bring you into my house. My wife and my stepdaughter's 28, you know, and you're going to be living in the house." You know. He goes, "Yeah, but I'm not well." I go, "Exactly. I mean, you think I want to bring somebody in the house that's dealing with depression issues? And I mean, what are you fucking crazy?"
That's a really awkward situation.
Technically, yes.
Yeah, but you know, but here's the thing: part of me like feels bad. Like, you know, it's my brother. Right? You know, I should.
Right.
But here's somebody I've seen make bad decisions. You know what I mean? On it's one thing if you have a brother that's just fell on bad times.
Sure.
Or, you know, something happened. He's got divorced. His wife left him. And now he does. Okay, yeah, come stay with me until you get on your feet. But this is somebody who's you know, is just going to be a fucking big drama queen in your house, and there's always going to be issues, and there's going to be shit going on. And
is he seeking treatment for this?
Yeah, but that's the thing.
No, I'm
you
just
know?
Asking.
Yeah, I mean, I don't listen. I don't. Here's the thing. Like I asked him. I said, "Well, all right. Well, I can't work. I can't work my job. I can't do my job anymore." Well, are you saying you just can't work anymore? Because if you can't work anymore and you don't have to, what makes you think I want you to come to my fucking
right.
house?
You know, just out of the goodness of my heart,
yeah,
I'm going to like
I'm gonna
shelter
support you.
How
now?
Do you think? Like you're just going to take him in and no consequences on you, just out of the goodness
yeah.
of your heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, because yeah. we've talked about this before. I have troubled family members too. And if they're not doing anything to help themselves, why in the world am I going to walk in?
And that's the thing. Listen, I understand he's got issues. You know, this now he deals with depression and a bipolar disorder and this kind of stuff. But he said, he's like, I'm sick like mom. I'm like, exactly. What makes you think that I even more now? You know what I mean? It's yeah. one thing if you just had some bad luck, you know, and you're trying to find work and this and that. But he's not even trying. You know what I mean?
Is there an outside solution? Like maybe, you know, help him find an apartment or put him up in a extended stay type place. I'm not saying that's the you know.
But here's the thing. Here's my point. I you know, first of all, my brothers never take my advice. Ever since I was growing up, they never listened to a fucking word I said. They yeah. never respected me in that way. They always use the shit like I'm just lucky. You know, I don't like. They always seem to think that I don't have any challenges. Like I don't have like.
Oh, well, right.
they're, you know what I mean? As if nothing. Like for some reason, they seem to think they're the only ones that deal with shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I said, listen. The difference is, you know, I mean, I'm dealing with a lot of shit myself, especially in the last month or two about stuff I got to do. So I'm not like you know. The difference between me and you is that I go at it. You know, I don't sit there and accept whatever it is. I try to change things.
Sure.
I don't victimize myself.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't sit there and go, ooh, you know, oh, I can't do, I can't. Because I ask him, I go, you can't, what do you mean you can't work? Okay, so what else are you going to do? That's it. He just succumbs to that. Like, that's it. I'm stuck like that. Like,
yeah.
There's no answers. And you know what? I've lost complete respect for my brothers because of that. Because, you know, listen, since I was a kid, I've dealt with this bullshit that they fucked up, they fucked up, they fucked up, they fucked up. My mom and dad had to do this, they had to do this, they had to do this. And it's almost like a resentment I have for them that they fucked up
yeah.
my parents' life.
Right.
Yeah.
They were nothing but a fucking bunch of, they never added, they never really helped them.
There were more anchors than sales.
Right.
Stress them
yeah.
out the whole time.
That's it.
And, yeah. yeah.
I got to see this ongoing decade after decade of just failures and shit that has to happen. And I want to move away from it. You know, I felt bad when I went to the funeral service a couple weeks ago. My friend Alex Agwin
yeah.
got killed
yeah.
and murdered, by the way. And we're still looking for, now there's supposedly three black men that were in this white car.
Oh, my God.
That the police came out and said they're looking for. So, you know, these are tight bond family. The brothers all loved each other. They all did
sure.
their own thing, you know. And, you know, I felt bad because Eric, the brother, says you got to really get back with your brother, considering I said, like, I hear what you're saying, and you know, and everything that's
yeah,
happened.
It's tough.
It's happened
yeah.
here, but it's not even close. It's not even the same. You know, I'm gonna sit there and like I have a conversation with my wife about this because I told her about him wanting to live here, and she looked at me like, you know,
like right. you better fucking not. Yeah,
yeah, there's no chance in that happening. I feel bad. Like, but there's nothing
how,
there.
How desperate is his situation? Meaning, like, is he like a week away from living on the street?
I mean. I told him, he says, I have money, this and that for now. He's got, you know, he was always, at least he used to save.
Okay.
He was unlike my other brother, who's got no responsibilities like that. He does no, you know, good
no planning.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah. He doesn't, he's always broke, always, you know, lets his wife dictate whatever the fuck he's doing. And, you know, so that, but he was like, you got to take, you know, he started, you got to help me here. No, I don't. I don't have to help you. You have to help, what has to happen is you have to help yourself.
Right.
You know, if you're, you got to find work.
And you said all these things to him.
Oh yeah, because he kept playing like the like making me feel guilty.
Well,
like,
of course,
you know, you got to help me. You got to do something. I'm stuck. I'm gonna be on the street. I'm like, that's not on me. You know what I mean? That's not on me. You know, it's like when I need help. You know, I'm the oldest. I'm the youngest of four boys. Now three, four. We have
and they
four
always
brothers.
Came to you.
No, they never did anything for me. They never wouldn't fucking help me. They didn't come back and I heard that you did. You know, never. It was never like, you know.
Which brother is this in order? Is it the one that's right above you or above that?
Next one.
The next one up.
Yeah.
So the second
child. Yeah. If anything, if I look back, my brother Eddie, who was older than me, the next one, if he helped me anywhere, when I went to high school, he said, like, he made it so I didn't get bugged by anybody because
right,
I had an older
right.
brother who was a few years older than me. You know, a great reputation, cool dude, you know, this and that. So I was considered –
Yeah. You got a free pass in that. You were alumni at that point.
Right, exactly. So if anything, that helped. But aside from that, it's never like, hey.
Legacy, not alumni. Right. Legacy.
Right, you know what I mean? Nothing ever was ever there. Like, I needed financial help. These guys can't help me. They're not going to give me advice. They're not going to sit back and give me advice and help me through shit. They're never, So.
But did you ever need it from them?
Yeah, there was times, of course. I don't know.
I'm asking.
Who doesn't need help at times? Who doesn't need some support? Who doesn't need, a sibling that can say, hey, you know what? Listen, I want to sit down with you and talk to you about what you're doing.
But did you, my point is, I'm sorry, I should phrase that differently. Did you reach out to them for help and they denied it?
You probably never trusted them to begin with.
Exactly. I never had respect in a sense to ask them for that type of help.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But
I'm just trying to figure if they wronged you in a way, like, you know what I mean? Like, you went to them and they, you know.
No.
Shunned you.
I wouldn't say that. It was more of the magnet.
More indirect.
Because you probably thought I'm way more dependent than them. If I can't, I'll figure it out. And if I can't, they're not going
to
help.
Today I talked to one of my clients. I have two of my clients are brothers. I used to take care of their mom and dad's finances.
Yeah.
And I handled things so that, everything's theirs. And these two are like, I mentioned something to one of the brothers, like, oh, and he was concerned. He wanted to make sure, and they help. And it's a nurturing relationship.
Sure.
But in my siblings, it wasn't like that. It wasn't like, anybody gives a shit, one way or the other. But then when something needs on their end, like my sister-in-law, when she first told me this, she's like, your brother's going to need you. He's going to have to stay with you. I'm like, first of all, don't tell me what has to happen. You know what I mean? And this and that. And all my life, I've done something, whether it's not to help my parents because something they've done or, they weren't there doing it. I had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like to resent. I don't like to feel resentment. I don't like to feel that.
Of course, yeah.
But at the same time, I'm not a dope. I'm not going to fucking do the same thing again.
You sometimes have no choice if, people constantly wrong you. You kind of just have to step aside and, leave it alone. Because I've been in that situation, too.
Yeah, and that's the thing about, again, the family thing. You know what I mean? Like, I was just thinking. I said to myself, so if you come here, how's that going to help you? Well, I'm making money right now. I'm like, well, you think you're going to live here for free? You think I'm going to be, and you think, the bottom line is, I know if you come here, you're never going to fucking leave.
I mean, can he get disability? I mean, can he apply for disability or federal, you know what I mean? Like,
supposedly he didn't qualify for short-term disability at work. And, again, it's typical. It's like, instead of waiting and trying to put a list of things you got to do together and working at it, it's just, woe is me and fuck, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
And, I'm like, what the fuck, you know what I mean?
How old is he?
I'm going to guess almost 60, 59, something like that.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, if you don't have your shit together by that point, you know what I mean? Like, it's
a long time.
Right.
It's like trying to teach a dog who's 8 years old not to shit on the rug.
Right.
After a while, I don't want to say I don't have any hope, but I don't. I don't have any confidence. I don't have any hope in these guys.
Well, you got to figure, if he's that old and, he's obviously has a lot going on internally, it doesn't sound like he's going to live to 98. You know what I mean? So, he's probably got 15 years left until, the average lifespan kind of kicks in. What's he going to do in 15 years? Turn his life around, you know what I mean?
Just puts you in such a bad situation because now you're dragged into that process. Like, do I, be a quote-unquote good brother and have him stay here, or do I, ruin my life in the process?
The other thing you have to think about, and I'm sure you know this because you've lost your parents and you've lost a brother, is, once that happens, there's no reconciliation. There's no chance to kind of, to make things right.
Right.
You know what I mean? Mm. So, I'm not saying that should guide your decision making, but especially at that age, you might want to just kind of keep that in mind, because you don't want, God forbid, something happens and he ends up on the street, or you know what I mean. Like, then all of a sudden, you're living with this because you feel like you didn't do anything. You know what I mean?
Well, and that I'll tell you, definitely that's what's going to happen because I don't, because I'm if that happens, I'm going to feel bad. I remember my oldest brother who passed. My mother and father were still alive. And my mother was like, "Oh, he's his girlfriend who kicked him out. Now he's got to be on the street because he's got to live with you. You're taking care of dad with his Parkinson's. You're not well, and you're living in a condo that I had to purchase. And I'm paying the majority of the bills.
Right.
Now he's cut, so I'm going to take care of him now. He's basically going to fall under that. It's just like So part of me back then was like. My mother's like, oh, I can't live with myself if he's on the street. I'm like, well, it's not very good living with him without, in the house, because he's an abusive alcoholic. He's gonna argue with dad. He's gonna, you know, and that right. pisses me off more. I'd rather have my brother on the street than my father dealing, you know, having sure. to deal with that
yeah.
shit.
Yeah, no, right? I get that, yeah.
So, you know, they're right. There's a part of me that's like, well, if he is on the street, am I going to feel, is that going to just tear at me? Because I am a caring soul, but right. at the same time, you know, I just can't. I mean, I've been, you know, twice bitten. You know,
Yeah. What was his reaction when you told him this? Was he angry? Was he?
The problem was, his when I talked to him, he was like, you got everything was just, like, just nothing there. You know what I mean? It was just like, just depressed.
Just empty, yeah.
Yeah, right. Just like always depressed. Yeah, and he's always depressed. I mean, my brother's very analytical. He can never make a decision. Like I said, when he used to ask for advice, what should I do? I say, well, you know, tell me what the, okay, well, this is what you got to do then. You got to do this. He goes like, oh, yeah, but I don't know. I'm like, don't fucking ask me for advice. And then when I give you advice, tell me that you can't do it.
Right.
Right.
You know what I mean? That's what I'm saying. I have no confidence. I got no hope. I don't think any, you know, and that's why, deep down inside, I saw this shit happening. Like, the only reason my brother's not all fucked up, my other brother's, because he's, you know, he's with his wife. So there's like a unit there. That, you know, they're miserable together. But, you know, it's too late for him, too. He should have left her years ago, because now he's learned all these bad behaviors. Hmm. So if she left him, he's not, you know what I mean? He doesn't have the moral strength and, you know, character.
To carry on.
To carry on.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. You know, today, you know, our time, this time now that we're in, things are very difficult. It's not easy. Life is not easy as it is. Every day we wake up, we got challenges in front of us, right? We got, like, I can't, like...
That's why I look to Jesus.
Yeah, well, you should, you pagan fuck. He's gonna go to fucking hell, this guy. He's atheist.
I'm in it right now.
Yeah.
There was a brief second where I'm like, oh, okay, he's kidding, never mind. Like, that's the weirdest thing he said.
You know... you know what I'm saying? So like, all right, it's one thing, like this comedy thing, right? This comedy thing is like, to me, is like causing me to bipolar. I feel like, you know, it's like there's ups and downs in this industry, you know,
sure.
Okay, I was dealing with that nonsense with that one club that's not,
right, not
booking me. Right. And I was like, mm-hmm. we talked about it and the guy's not booking me. And I actually had somebody else say something to me recently about it. I'm like, you know, listen, I don't give a fuck. You know, we're just, whatever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Especially now, like this other club, they're going to book me as a headliner. Financially, that's, you know, that's fine. That's my
fuck
weekend.
That guy.
Yeah, fuck that guy. and then, so I was having one of these days where I just didn't feel good. And is how, when you don't, if you're having a bad day, like
yeah.
you can either let it mull and get worse and then think worse, or you can say, I got to stop this. I got to break the chain.
Right.
Right? And you start thinking bad thoughts and negative and stuff. You got to break the chain. Like I mentioned to my brother, I go, what do you do? Okay, you're not working. So what are you going to do tomorrow? I don't know, man. I'm like, why don't you go out tomorrow? Why don't you just go to the beach? Just hang, you know, go take
walk
a ride.
The park or something.
Go to the mall. Just
do something
you know,
yeah.
fucking.
Yeah, if you're sitting in your house just staring at the wall, it's not going
to
get any
it's
better.
It's not going
to
help.
When you're depressed, home is the worst place to be.
You got to get out. You know, do something. Go to the park and just watch guys, you know, people play sports, whatever. Just do something. And oh, I don't want to. And I was like, ugh, here we go again. So, so I had one of these last week when I had this issue. I said, you know what? I reached out to the owners of Gotham Comedy Club in mm-hmm. New York, because I've been approved for the Gotham Comedy Live Access TV show.
Nice.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And you know, you're waiting. You're basically in this list of people, and you're waiting and waiting. So I said, I'm gonna change the day. So I emailed them. I said, hey, you know, congratulations. I've been watching the shows on Thursday nights. I said, it's great shows. It's congratulations. Things are going well. And he says, thanks, pal. And I said, you know, I said, by the way, I'm really looking forward to coming on the show sometime, because we're definitely going to get you on this season. And that was it. So I was like, fuck, and you know, from gloom,
sure.
you know, to,
right.
to, now I'm happy.
Good news,
now
yeah.
I'm in a good mood. And what's that do? That causes more. Now you got energy. Now you're like, okay, it escalates. It snowballs.
You sought it out. You went,
that's right.
you talked to him, and it puts you in a good mood. And it's like yeah. an accomplishing, like, I found that. I gave myself
that's right.
that energy.
I get, and
yeah.
that completely erases and eradicates the negativity about the other club or anything else that you're dealing with.
So there's a concept called metacognition, okay, which I'm a big believer in, which is analyzing your own thoughts. It's like, okay, I feel depressed. Why do I feel depressed? Like, what is it that's going on? That you know, or I'm angry right now. Why am I getting angry? What is the root cause of this anger? I'm angry at this person, but you know, it's a way, you know, it's way overblown of how much angry I should be. You know, how
right.
angry. So what's making it happen? You know, so those are metacognitive skills, which is exactly what you're talking about, which is a big, you know, once you can start start thinking like that. You can start analyzing your own self,
right?
And, you know, and it's very self teaching. It's very you know, it does make you, you know, nobody's perfect, but at least you can start to recognize that you do things and start to understand why you do things.
Right.
So you can learn to like shift your.
You learn to shift or learn to, you know, learn to accept those things that are bothering you or are causing things to, you know, or avoid those things. Right. You know, it's like you're putting yourself in situations where you're always ending up with the same, you know, the same result or the same feeling.
What would you say is one of your biggest challenges right now that you like every day, like in this moment in time in your life, what would you say is like the biggest challenge or the biggest thing right now that you're coping with or dealing with or trying to get through?
Right now, it's financial.
Yeah.
Like right now, it's financial. Because, like, you know, so I've cut back on the hours that I'm working with the agency. And then I've been trying to pick up, like, freelance stuff. And then and the agency hours have been cut back, but I was booking some acting work. So that was kind of making up the difference. But now it's been so slow because it's the summer. So now it's like, all right, what am I going to do? So I'm kind of – that's my biggest challenge right now. It's not like I'm in a desperate situation, right. but it needs to be addressed.
Yeah.
And I need to – you know.
Now, let me ask you. Sometimes when I get caught up in that, like the financial side, like –
yeah.
Like I finally my settlement with Wells Fargo since I left is done. I paid my last check to them. Right, so there's always financially, like, okay, I got money put away, this and that. But sometimes I ask myself, well, what happens if this doesn't go well?
Right.
And then I start putting myself. Well, then I'm the house, and you draw yourself down,
sure,
to,
yeah,
that. You get really depressed, and you start getting concerned and anxiety. You know, so
and this is interesting because pseudo sister-in-law, I don't even know, but my dad's girlfriend's daughter, I don't know how I would refer to her, but she's a psychologist, and we have these really good conversations all the time. And we were talking about she's talking about stress and like her husband gets a little stressed, and I said, well, the way I think of things, which I don't know if it's good or bad, is I look at my immediate problems, like you know, you're talking, thinking like, okay, well, what if the house, what if this doesn't go, you know, I don't think about those,
right,
things. Those things are there and they'll be there. They may be there, they may not be there, but like, what's my problem today? So what can I solve today? I don't really think too much about what's my problem going to be tomorrow,
right?
And you know, okay,
that's
so
healthy.
Yeah. So my thought was, okay, is it it's healthy because I'm not like stressing myself out over things that are not happening, but I'm also not being too concerned about things that may happen in the future, which might lead to me not planning as much as I should. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, but that's sort of the way I kind of look at things. So right now, what's my immediate problem right now? What do I have to fix today? And then, you know, because I don't look at symptoms. I look more at problems.
Right. And I think, too, like the old mantra I used to follow was, I can only worry about things I can control.
Yeah.
You know, like in my business, you know, like if the markets go bad or things are happening,
yeah,
I can't control that.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and I just got to deal with it. And you know, so all I could do is when things are bad, just keep in touch with people more, you know, reach out more often, you know, do stuff,
yeah,
like that, you know, and do that. Cause that's, I get like that. I get worrisome about stuff. I start like thinking further ahead.
Sure.
I like to plan. I like to, mm-hmm, have answers and solutions to things, you know, ahead of time. So then when you start thinking, well, what if this happened? What if that,
yeah,
you know? You know what I mean? And so I try to, like you said, like you just said, in a sense, what can I control? You know, what's really the problem today?
Correct.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, and I'll say to myself sometimes if I find, like, I think a lot in the shower. I write a lot of jokes in the shower. I just for whatever reason, that's sort of my, like, place. I don't know. What are you laughing at? I'm not jerking off, you perverts.
Yeah, I try to save water. I don't masturbate in the shower anymore.
But anyway, you know, sometimes I'll start to kind of like, you know, you start to spiral a little bit. Like you start thinking about something that, you know, you're having an argument in your head with somebody, or, you know, whatever that is. And I'll stop myself and I'll just sort of say to myself, imagine stress. This is imagined. I'm imagining what this is and it's,
right,
and it's causing me stress. Like this has not happened and may not ever happen, you know, and that.
I feel like you're such a therapist because I saw a therapist for this exact reason, that I create these scenarios that don't exist and,
right,
I get really stressed out about them. And this is like exactly what any psychologist will,
yeah,
tell you is like, okay, what you're worrying about, you're totally creating.
Right. You're creating.
This has not happened.
So, you know, I really, and that goes back to that metacognition thing, which is basically you're looking at yourself and what you're thinking and why you're thinking it and what is causing that problem. So I'm thinking, you know, I'm realizing, all right, I'm making this up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having this argument with this person that may or may not even ever take place.
Right.
If that argument takes place, I'll deal with it then.
Right.
If it never, then I never have to deal with it. Why am I being upset? So,
I mean, it's a weird moment. Like I like to think, like, potential confrontation or something. I like to think it through. So if it does happen, I'm mentally prepared for
right,
it.
Right, but that stresses you out. Exactly. That causes right. a lot of stress, does, and that's does. The thing. And I understand that. And I do that, and that's one of the reasons that I, you know, I'm like, okay, if I have this confrontation with this person, if they bring this up, what, you know, if I'm going to say
this,
you know,
you
start going down all these different avenues and all that right. kind of stuff, and then you actually get yourself stressed out, and it's like, well, wait a minute, why am I even doing this?
My
this
mother,
is just imagined stress.
Typical. My mom used to sit there, what if, comes in. Yeah. And I used to go, look, you can't worry about things. And there's an old saying, is it Shakespearean, I think? A coward dies a thousand deaths, where the brave die one.
Right, because the coward's yeah. worried about mm-hmm. dying. So
the coward's right. always fearful of something bad happening, where the courageous don't fear it. If it happens, it happens.
Right.
And I used to say to my mom, I go, Mom, you're worrying about something that's happened that may or may not ever happen, yet you're putting yourself through the stress of it happening.
Right.
And that just, and I'm big on that because I it's part of our family, this depression thing, because I get into it and I'm like, and I was like, oh man.
Yeah, you can spiral. I mean, you can go right down that rabbit hole and.
And like I said, the only way that can change. And I've done this a couple times in the past couple months. Is I just get out, like for me, it's like going to the gym. That was a new thing. I'm like, look, I can't control finance. I can't control the money in the world and sure. this and that. But I can control my health. I can control how I feel.
Yep.
Right. And I thought, you know what? And that helps. And when I go to the gym now, the last two Absolutely. Or 3 weeks, I'm going at least 3 or 4 days a week now.
Oh, that's great.
So it's like.
Yeah, well, it takes your mind off of it. You're thinking about what you're doing.
It better helps you like handle things emotionally in the future. Yeah, like exactly. You don't get as upset or uptight about things because you just feel better.
And the other thing I do, which to me helps a lot, you know, like people look at problems and they're like, oh, this is, you know, this is a huge problem, you know, and it's so overwhelming, I don't even know what to do, you know what I mean? And then they don't do anything, and then it either gets worse or just never goes away, or, you know, it's all about baby steps. Little things equal big things. So right. you know, I'll do, okay, so all right, I've got this issue. What can I do today? What can I do right now? Can I make a phone call? Can I send an email? Can I talk to somebody? Can I get advice on how to fix, you know, this part of it? And I'll break it down
right.
to, you know, and that happened today. I mean, I had a phone call with somebody, you know, I had reached out to a buddy of mine to ask him some advice on something. And he's like, you know, you should call this guy who we both know. And I was like, oh, that's a great. So I called him, you know what I mean? So it's just, the things are moving. It's like, okay, I'm working towards solving this problem.
It's just taking the first step.
It's just taking the first step. Or, you know, just it's people get so overwhelmed. I don't know what to do. Do the smallest thing.
Right.
You want to start stand-up comedy? Don't think about how you're going to write 10 minutes worth of material. Think about going online and Google searching a comedy class. Like, that's one
step
to do. It's a step forward. Yeah. And then once you find it, okay, so your next step is signing up for it. You know what I mean? Like, and it just things, you know, I've learned life is not one big thing. It's a lot of little things.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the way that's my outlook.
Yeah, how about you? Anything particular?
I have a family member that is really causing some grief towards other family members. So kind of similar to what you're talking about. It's just me. It's not that situation. It's me knowing how to deal with it. Like, do I get involved? Do I not get involved? Do I, you know, voice my opinion, or is it totally worthless and probably going to cause a lot of other problems? So it's like also me dealing with like how to silence voices in my head, like telling me like what to do and, oh, you really should do this. Do it right now. And it's frustrating because I don't know how to just like relax when there's family issues. I get very personally involved.
Yeah, and it's like since I like to resolve things quickly, I start put pressure on myself sometimes to get it resolved. When sometimes you're like, you know what, I'm going to put it back. I'm going to shelve this one. Yeah. You know, like with my brother, I don't have to make it. I don't have to make any decisions. You know what I mean? It's like I'm just not going to. You know what I mean? I'm not going to think about it. I mean, it's just
well, but what I would and you're right about that. But what I would say for that is you don't want to leave that lingering, because if he's holding out hope that you're going to do this, that could put him farther back. You know what I mean? Like you need to make it clear to him that
I made it clear the minute he asked me. Yeah. But there's no way in hell you're staying at my house. Yeah.
So that
my wife won't let you. There's no way you can stay here with my wife. My wife will not agree on it, and I don't want you staying here because he could be a bit of a perv. My brother, and I don't want him staying here with my daughter-in-law here. You know what I mean?
Can I stay here for a couple weeks?
No. Damn it. Although I do trust you more around her than my brother.
Stupid.
Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. What are you depressed about today, and how do you deal with it?
This is a comedy podcast.
Right. The people who are listening to the show are like, now I'm fucking depressed. Thanks.
Well, good. We have to, that's what happens. Because there are some people that if they're depressed, they got to tell you all about it.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Well, it's venting.
Right. You got to get it out. And, you know, sometimes it's good to tell, you know, like it always helps me. Like I mentioned, I have mentors. I have a few mentors. I'm an old philosophy professor in college. You know, Steve Marshall's a guy with comedy. I've got a few mentors I look towards. because I don't have older brothers or siblings that I can say, hey, I need your help with something. So that's something, that's how I cope with that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to rely on people. You know what I mean? And I kind of think of myself as a doer and getting things done and this. And if you're like that, sometimes it's hard to look towards others.
Sure.
You know, and not only that, that's the first step, is to find, to look towards others, and then being able to listen, right? And especially if it's something that you need to do that you may not want to do. That's the hardest thing. You know, my brother doesn't want to listen to what I'm saying because he just wants to let everybody, he wants everybody to feel bad for him.
Right.
And I'm like, look, and I feel bad saying, look, fuck it. I don't get, you know, because... Look, to me, I'm just saying, look, you want me to sit there and go, yeah, I understand. I know. That's rough. That's terrible. Yeah. Oh, I feel so bad. You know what I mean? And what does that do? That doesn't do anything.
Right.
You know, but then I'm the asshole because, like, in the past, it's something that's happened. Like, oh, your life's so easy. That's why you don't have a fucking...
Well, you're a fixer. You know, I'm that way, too. It's like, okay, well, you bring me a problem, I'm going to try and fix it. And unfortunately, sometimes people don't want their problems fixed. They just want to tell you about their problems.
Yeah.
So that can cause some animosity.
Right. And you know what? But I don't... You're right. It's like in a relationship. Men are from Mars and women are from Venus, right? But, you know, it's not... But my brother's not my wife. And, you know, my brother tells me, hey, I got an issue.
Your
and
wife's
I have this
much
fucking
better looking.
Yeah, much better looking. and you know what I mean? And you got all these issues. And, I told him, I said, dude, you got to get the fuck out of the house, man. You got to come up with something. You can't just not work. You have to, you know, I can't do my job anymore. Okay, well.
And get a new job.
What's his job?
He works for like Bell South, where helps with sets up the internet and all that shit.
I was a technician.
Yeah. I'm like, how fucking stressful is that? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, I think about some of the stuff people do. And I'm like, so I asked him, I said, what can you do that wouldn't be stressful?
Right. You know? There's always going to be I don't care what you're doing, there's always going to be a level of stress. You know?
Yeah. What job do you know that doesn't have stress? You know, there's an old expression, every job has grungies. Every job you have is things that are just don't want, there's always going to be something in there that's just going to be a pain in the ass.
It's a job.
Yeah. That's what a job,
right.
You know.
It's not fun, right?
Yeah.
It's work.
Yeah. You know what I mean? So the only way you can change that, you got to change that. And that's the way it goes. So, by the way, we come back, we got some top stories that are out there. We got Zika now in Florida, 10 different 14 cases here in Miami, so we got to worry about that. We had some stuff, of course, occur with Trump, your buddy Trump.
You're my buddy.
And
I'm leaving now.
Yeah, and well, listen, it's both. It's going to be interesting. The father of the
Khan,
that guy, and there's
Kazir, I believe.
You know, and you know, and again, as somebody who is, I don't say I'm a Trump fan, but I'm not a Hillary fan. But somebody, like, when he said, why didn't the wife say anything? I'm like, why'd you even bring up the wife?
Ugh.
Like, you know what I mean? I mean, she's sitting there, but she's, you know, but it turns out this guy has connections with Saudi Arabia and the people that were related with Clinton as well. But the bottom line is, why wouldn't he just say, you know, hey,
thank you. Thank you for your service.
Thank you so much
for your
service.
I'm so sorry for your loss.
He's got a thin skin.
And then he thinks he's got to answer the question, what sacrifices have you got? It's like, well, the first thing I would say if I'm him, like, look, I didn't lose anybody in the war.
He created 1,000 jobs.
I wasn't a soldier.
Right.
You know, I wasn't, you know, so what sacrifice? I don't even understand the question. You know, what sacrifices have I made? I bust my ass for my kids and my family. I make daily sacrifices. I get up earlier than most people. You know, I mean, if you want to call those sacrifices, but I've never risked my life in
war. He can't even compare, creating great buildings.
He tried to. That was the problem. He tried to.
I would look at the guy who asked me the question and go, that's a stupid fucking question. I go, you're comparing me to a soldier? I'm not a soldier. I'm not that. What sacrifices have I made?
Are we taking a break or are we just going
right
to the
second
segment?
Taking a break. Just getting a little break. Hey, we'll be right back after this.
Hey, this is John Levine, and you're listening to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, where I'm not always right, but Dougie is always wrong.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
Yeah, I won't follow you down Depression Road. Welcome back to the show. This is Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. I'm here with John Levine and Talia Brahms today.
Yes, you are.
And thanks for listening, guys. Don't forget, subscribe to us right here on Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Podbean.com, iTunes, or Stitcher. Hopefully we'll get that straightened out on Stitcher before the end of the day.
Let's hope so.
Otherwise, I'm going to quit this fucking thing. No more shows.
That's it.
Done with it. Who's got time for this shit? You know what I mean?
That's right.
Hey, welcome back to the show. And
my burger was overcooked. I'm becoming a vegan.
That's it. I've had enough of this shit. All right. Anyway, we were talking about stuff that's depressing and how we deal with it in the first part of the show, right?
Yes, very light.
And
usually what I do is I just get up and leave this room.
So, by the way, you congratulations! You were selected to be in the main event of the World Series of Comedy.
Thank you.
Have you made your final decision though?
I did, and I spoke. Yeah. I spoke to Joe. I don't think it was the right time for me to do it this year.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, there's some people aren't going, so there's a lot of people that are going to be pushed from the wild. Would it make a difference if you weren't in the wild card round?
Maybe. But right. Again, like we had the conversation, you know, I'm just getting to having feature time, you know? So even if I were to meet somebody or a booker, say, you know, I don't know if I'm, you know, I don't know what that does for me
right.
At this point.
You want to be prepared.
I want to be prepared. I think, you know, holding off until next year will just make me much stronger.
That's really honorable of you. I feel like anyone would just be like, oh yeah, great. All right, whatever.
Look, if it was, I mean, thank you. I appreciate that. And if it was something that was being held in Miami, it might be a little bit different. But there's also a huge expense of going across the country to, you know, with the hotels and the flights and all that other kind of stuff, too. So that did come into it. But I also, you know, I really think that, you know, if I was to meet somebody who was like, oh, great, I want you to feature all weekend at my club. I don't know. You know, not that I wouldn't take it, but I think it would be more of a stretch for me at this point.
Well, it's funny. There's in the past, I told this before, but at a satellite one time, there was a guy who had a very strong 10 minutes, and he went to the finals.
Yeah.
Where you got to do 20, 25 minutes.
And he didn't have it.
So he basically had to do his set twice.
Mm. He just did the same jokes.
Yeah, he basically went in there, and he tried some crowd work, and then he ended up just, like, going back and starting over.
Yeah. Oh, my God, that's horrible.
We had, J.B. Ball on the show a couple weeks ago, who he's done great. Matter of fact, he was in the New Faces of Comedy at Montreal, which is a great achievement. So. But he, you know, he had a great strategy. He says, listen, I didn't enter any of these festivals or anything until I really felt
confident.
I was confident and fine-tuned and ready. And, I was a little different. I wanted to go because I wanted to get exposure. I wanted to do this and that. And eventually, people saw that I was better, got better and better, and people appreciated that.
Sure.
Because you got to feel fortunate, you know.
And the other thing is, like, you know, and I've had this conversation with several comedians is, you know, you can... And this is not, I'm taking it away from JB's strategy. Obviously, he's successful. But how do you know if you're ready? Like, you can sit there and wait and say, well, I need to do this. I need to do that. It's, I'm not, you know, I almost think you got to test yourself a little bit just to see, okay, you know what? I did the test. I'm not ready.
Right.
Or I did the test and I am ready. I need to sharpen or I need to get better, you know, whatever that may be.
And the key to it's being honest with yourself about stuff.
Absolutely.
You know, this weekend we were talking about, we were having a conversation, at the club. At Snappers, and there's, it's always interesting a club owner because they see this firsthand.
Sure.
And there's somebody that wants to be a headliner, and this person had contacted me once about headlining, and I had only seen this person once or twice before, and they were not only headliner, they weren't funny,
right? Mm-hmm.
And I thought, and it was funny, and of course they brought this person up, and he's like, yeah, they wanted to, the headline and this and that, and I'm like. And then I'm sitting there like all quiet. And then they ask, have you ever seen her? And I go, yeah, a couple of times. Like, what did you think? I go, I mean, and then you hear other stories that the person's working and doing this. And you're thinking, where the fuck are they, where are they working? Like who would hire this person,
right.
As a headliner? And, besides certain places like Bonkers, you got open micers headlining at this point. But. So it was just, you're right. You got to be honest with yourself.
You have to be.
For me, my strategy has always been I'm never been in a hurry. You know what I mean? I mean, there was a time I knew I could host, right? Because I knew I could do 5-10 minutes.
Sure.
And then, you know, I knew when I was ready to feature because I knew I had at least 30-40 minutes. And even then, you know, I think back to my early feature sets compared to now. And I would think, God, how did anybody hire me then? You know what I mean?
Right.
So for those of you who are like, hey, why'd you say that about me? I've said it about myself, you fucks, okay? I'm very critical of myself and of anybody in that situation.
Yeah, and I think you know, everybody does that. Like, you know, we're always the hardest, I think, on ourselves. You know, like I look back.
For sure.
You know, I look back, you know, when I first did 5 minutes at the Improv, you know, and for my graduation class from the comedy class there. And, you know, that night, like, you know, Auni Issa and Kevin Perry were there because, you know, Auni was videotaping, Kevin was performing, and they both came up to me and they're like, dude, stick with this, like, you're good. You know what I mean? And I look back on that and I'm like, God, how did they look at me and think that I was good? You know,
oh,
what,
yeah,
I mean? Like, you know, and you know, even from that point, now I'm doing it 2.5 years, I'll look back a year, you know, just a year from where, right, I am today, and I'm like, oh God, you know, I was fucking terrible. Like why did, you know, but the audience doesn't see it that way. Other people don't see you that way. They,
right,
see, you know, you're seeing your flaws.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I'm just saying that, you know, you don't have flaws.
I still have a friend that, like, she tells me her favorite joke of any joke that I have was like my first joke that I ever thought of.
Right.
And she just like, oh, I just think it's the funniest one you have. And I'm like, oh man, like, here I am so critical on myself. Like, oh, that was so basic and not even developed. And she loved it. So
yeah.
Everyone looks at it a little differently.
All right. Well, speaking of achievements, I don't know if you guys saw this. One of the top stories I've seen in the last few days: skydiver becomes first person to jump and land without a chute.
Yeah,
yeah.
Jumped
in
that
too.
Net.
You know, you hear like a friend of mine says, "Oh, big deal, he landed in a net." I'm like, what the fuck?
As opposed to what? Yeah. Like what? Like, yeah, either you have a parachute, you land in a net, or they're not gonna put like a mattress down.
How about,
or
you die from being in that air pressure, or just the fall alone,
or missing the net?
Or, I mean, yeah, right, and missing the net. It was a half a football field wide. They said,
yeah.
Oh wow, that's,
yeah, like 50 yards wide,
yeah,
which is not,
oh,
that
God,
big
really
when you're
scary,
jumping from 25,000 feet or whatever the fuck.
Exactly,
it was.
And it's not, you know, you're sitting there and you know you try to, you know, what are you gonna do? You're gonna try to. You think, oh, he jumped into a net, what's the big deal? I'm like, well, fuck, dude, you got to land in the net. You know, you got to, somebody's got to orchestrate all that and figure it out, you know, and design it, and, you know. But
right,
in Los Angeles, after leaping from an airplane, Luke Aikens rocketed toward Earth for 2 minutes and then calmly flipped onto his back at the last second and landed in a 100-foot...
I've been training this for 2 years. My whole life's been dedicated to skydiving.
That was Luke.
Yeah, that was Luke, by the way.
Relax, Luke.
Yeah,
we're almost there.
I shut off the thing and it still played. It landed in a 100-by-100-foot net in California. His 42-year-old skydiver with more than 18,000 jumps made history as the first person to survive a leap without a parachute and land safely in a net.
Yeah.
That's a lot of jumps.
Who's a net?
Never mind. Yeah.
It's a girl down with her legs spread.
Yeah.
Ow, yay!
Right in the net! Right in there!
Guy jumped out of a plane and landed right in a net.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was pretty crazy. I watched that video and I was like, holy shit, that's, you know, and he had like the four guys around him, you know what I mean, that were like, you know, kind of, I don't know what they were doing.
Yeah, what are they going to do? Like, oh, it doesn't look like he's going to make it.
There was a priest giving him his last rites, you know, as they're coming down, you know.
His mother was there, too.
Right,
just,
yeah, exactly.
Sure,
yeah.
Got a laugh. Yeah, that was
his
fun.
Dog.
So it was just him falling. Like, even if...
Yeah, they had parachutes.
Wait. Okay,
the people around him had parachutes.
Yeah.
He was the only one without a parachute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
so even if he like kind of got off course,
well,
like they were.
And that's what I was wondering. I was wondering, like, if that was the case, like if they, like, he was grossly off course, did they have a mechanism to like strap onto him to, you know what I mean, at that point to.
Like he had mentioned, like, during the practice stuff, there was like no wind. And then,
right,
but the day they're going to do the jump, there's a lot of wind. So
yeah,
that could brush. You know, when, again, you think 100-by-100-foot net. Oh, that's. No, it's not.
Well,
it's, you know, and you come in jumping from the air, you know, you get blown off course.
That, right, exactly.
Yeah, from it's, that high up with, yeah, absolutely nothing to like.
And here's the other thing. The earth is turning like underneath you as you're falling. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
There's things going on there.
He quoted saying, I'm going all the way to the net. No question about it. He said from the plane, I'll just have to deal with the consequences when I land. Of wearing the parachute on my back and what it's going to do to my body.
Yeah, that's the other thing.
Old guy.
Because he went from like 127 miles an hour to zero in like 1.6 seconds or something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, but that net was funny. Like it just.
Well, yeah, no, it had a lot of give, obviously. Cause yeah. But that was like, they said, I don't know, 127. It was like something like that, you know, to zero in like less than 2 seconds. I mean, what does that do to your body?
By the way.
Exactly. What level do you start feeling like the butterflies, like you're dropping? Because I know right when you drop out of the plane, it doesn't feel like that. You're just kind of floating. But at what point in the atmosphere do you feel like you're dying?
When you saw his pants turn brown, I think that was the indicator. Right?
A shit stain appears.
That's right.
When it seems like it's raining.
He seems to be leaking something from the sky.
It says here, his friend Chris Talley came up with the idea 2 years ago, and he said...
hey, why don't you do it?
He acknowledged he turned it down cold, much like my brother living here. And he goes, I kind of laugh, and I say, okay, that's great. I'll help you find somebody to do it. He told the Associated Press about his jump a couple weeks.
Why didn't the friend who came up with it do it?
Yeah.
That's what I want to know. Hey,
I won't do it,
idea.
But I'll help you find someone.
I got this great idea. You know, someone should jump out of a plane like 25,000 feet into a net. That's awesome. Why don't you do it?
I wish I could do it, but I got my kids.
Yeah, I just hate it when the change falls out of my pockets.
That's right. A couple weeks after Talley made his proposal, Akins called back and said he would do it. He'd been the backup jumper in 2012 when Felix Baumgartner became the first skydiver to break the speed and sound during a jump from 24 miles above Earth.
Yeah, that was cool, too.
Yeah, remember Felix Baumgartner? He's the only guy that fell further than Bill Cosby and Lance Armstrong. Trust me.
Don't do that on stage.
They are very similar. Yeah, listen, congratulations. Like, my friend was just belittling it like it was...
Your friend's like, who gives a fucking shit? Hand me those Doritos. Yeah. I could do that if I wanted to. Hey, give me the Cool Ranch.
Yeah.
It's who belittles that shit? You jump out of a fucking plane without a parachute and live. And it's like, just do a net.
It's just a net.
Yeah, but
anyone could do that.
It's a big deal, man.
I've
jumped off my roof into my pool. I mean, you know, what's the big deal?
Did you ever jump off a roof into your pool?
No.
I have a picture of it, actually. I'm very proud of it.
You have a picture of John jumping into the roof or jumping off of the roof?
Oh, yeah, we were together.
We had that in our house in Margate. The one I took a photo of and put on Facebook not too long ago.
Your parents' house?
Oh, yeah. With all the Spanish molding and stuff.
Yeah, exactly. We had, like, it was right there. So we'd climb up. You saw the side of the house, you can easily get up on the roof. We get up on the roof, and we go to the back, and we jump off the roof into the pool. And so, you know, my brothers, one time my brother, Eddie, we had a slide, too. So we'd slide. Oof. So one time he's on the edge. We would jump from the top of the slide into the pool.
Yeah.
But there was one time as he went to jump off, his foot kind of slipped. And he landed one leg in the pool.
Oh, one leg out.
And one leg out.
Oh, that's cool.
And it was brutal.
Yeah, that's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was the scariest thing I've ever done. Easily.
That happened to me. I was when I worked in the yachting business a long time ago. I was putting stuff on people's boats. We were on like this big trip with all of our customers, and it was at a dock, and all the boats were docked. So I was like jumping on and off the boats, like putting stuff down. And on the very last one, my foot slipped as the boat was kind of like moving away, and I caught the dock like mid chest and fell backwards into the water. If I would have hit my head, I would have been dead. But I, you know, and I had literally an inch wide bruise going from like nipple to nipple all the way across. It was bad.
Holy crap. Yeah.
Speaking of bad shit in Florida, like I said, CDC issues a travel advisory to Florida, which has 10 new cases of Zika. You know, this could really affect the travel industry.
It already is.
It already has,
it
right?
It already is. You know, one of my clients for the marketing thing is I'm not going to say who it is, but they're an airline that does Caribbean travel, and it's hurting them bad.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah.
I mean, when I went to Bahamas a few weeks ago, people were like, you have to worry about that. But, what's interesting about this thing, they were saying how these mosquitoes are different. They don't fly far from where they hatch.
They're not.
They're not like they don't fly. Because somebody says, mosquitoes fly over. But these things pretty much stay close. And they're the kind of mosquitoes that are born like in little things of water.
Yeah, standing water.
Standing water and shit, you know. So you can't leave like little buckets around your house.
They say a bottle cap worth of water. Right. They can breed in that.
Oh, wow.
A bottle cap.
Yeah. So if you want to keep, you got to go around your house and look for these little areas where water can gather and hold.
Yeah.
And you can't leave a bucket. You have to flip it over. Even then, at the top of the bucket, you get it on there.
Yeah.
So the state of Monday said there are 10 more people who have been infected with Zika, who likely contracted it from local mosquitoes, bringing the total number of such cases to 14. Because the virus can have devastating consequences for a fetus, The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention urge pregnant women to avoid traveling to this area.
Yeah.
Good.
Only pregnant women.
Only pregnant women. Yeah, because you're right. Because if you get bit by one and you're not pregnant or going to have kids.
Yeah. I mean, you'll get a mild fever.
Even if
you get aches, you get
kids,
pains.
John
get...
was saying, like, a couple of years later.
Yeah, it's not permanent.
You have to be pregnant, like, right now.
But it can be sexually transmitted. So that's the thing. So if I get it, and I can transmit it through my semen to a woman.
Right.
And she can get it. That's what happened.
Now, is this like a virus that never goes away?
No. No, but it can live. I think they said it can live in your bloodstream for, like, 6 months or something like that.
Right.
Before your body kind of gets rid of it.
Oh, wow. Wait. So, like, if a guy has Zika and the girl's not even pregnant yet, but she's looking to get pregnant, infected sperm can still
can give her Zika.
Oh, ooh.
No, infected sperm can give her Zika.
Right.
And then the Zika in her body would affect the fetus.
Exactly.
Yeah. The question is
that's
like,
why I wear a Zondom.
So how do you, I mean, you don't know, you got to find out if you have it, because if you found out you're pregnant, would you abort it? Like, would you, if you found out you're pregnant, you found out you had Zika, that you're going to give a baby with that little head and that, you know, the defects, would you have the baby still?
I don't want to immediately say it, but yeah, absolutely. Like, I feel bad immediately thinking that, but what kind of life are you really providing for?
I mean, that's the thing. You've seen people that had the baby and you're like, well, if you knew you had it, I mean, if you're 8 months pregnant, you can't really do much about it.
Right.
But you know what I mean? Like,
You're just really introducing someone that's going to have nothing but problems, not only, you know, physically, but just in every aspect.
Yeah, I mean, the kid looks like Oompa Loompa. I mean, you know what I mean? The kid's with the little head, you know what I mean? It's just like, the kid's not going to, you know. Yeah. Now, you think something like this, this is the beginning of, like, you know, the overpopulous and all this is going on. You think there's going to be more and more? Because doesn't it seem like as time goes on, there's just more and more of these issues of, you know, potential pandemics and things like that because of the population growing.
They always talk about potential pandemics, but, you know, oh, we're going to have one. Oh, it's going to be right around. I mean, they've been saying that for the last 25 years. You know what I mean? Because really the biggest threat now, it's not necessarily that there's these, like, new diseases. I mean, Zika was found in the 1960s.
Right.
So it's more the fact that you can get on a plane right now and be in LA by dinner time. You know what I mean? So we're so much more connected. Whereas, you know, back in the day, you know, the Black Plague hits England, it stays in England.
Right.
You know, it's not going anywhere. Problem is, somebody today gets something in New York and 12 hours from now they're in Japan.
Well, that's what we have with, that's the problem we have with Ebola. Right, I mean, people are
right.
You know, they're trying to keep that, you know,
exactly. So check. So it's tough to keep it, you know. So that's really, we're so interconnected now by travel. That's really the biggest threat. But, you know, I don't know. There would have to be something. I'm more worried about like you know, antibiotic resistant bacteria. I mean, that's really you know, like
right.
You know, the, you know, what do you call it? That staph bug that you get in, like, that they have, you get in hospitals. MRSA. MRSA.
Yeah.
It's a staph. Yeah, but it's like a super staph infection. And now it's even becoming resistant to, like, the last ditch antibiotic. I mean, that's a big problem. I mean, that is a bigger problem to me than Zika is, you know.
All right, let's talk about something funny. Okay.
depression, world pandemics.
Well, listen, you can't have all laughter. Woman claims she was sexually assaulted by a toy at a hibachi restaurant.
Sexually assaulted by a toy.
A woman.
It seems like a self-inflicted assault.
Who visited a hibachi steakhouse in Tennessee says she was sexually assaulted by a toy during her dinner. Police were called to hibachi in Murfreesboro. Murfreesboro.
No, it's pronounced. It's spelled that way, but it's Murfreesboro is how it's pronounced.
You've been to Murfreesboro?
Yes.
Okay. That's why you know, see? Because when you look at it, it's Murfreesboro.
Yes, it's correct.
All right.
And Wednesday is also spelled Wednesday.
Wednesday.
But we don't say it that way either.
This week on a sexual assault complaint where the Isabel Lassiter, why did you say where the Isabel Lassiter? Who fucking wrote this thing? Lassiter told them.
The guy from Murfreesboro.
Yeah, Murfreesboro. Lassiter told them she'd been squirted in the face with a toy by a chef. The toy is meant to look like a little boy that pulls his pants down and urinates. Proprietors of the restaurant admit that incident occurred and said that the toy is meant to be funny. Ha ha, laugh, ha ha. But Lassiter isn't laughing, in part because it happened in front of her children. It peed on me, basically, out of his wee-wee area. Well, that's where you usually pee. Isabel Lassiter told the news. Lassiter reportedly... police said she felt sexually assaulted because the toy has a penis.
Oh, my God.
However, in the police statement, the officer refuted that claim. Quote, I observed the toy to have no penis and just a hole in the water to shoot out, the officer wrote. In reaction to the news report about the incident, Lassiter and her husband released a statement defending her allegations. People are missing the point, much like the thing to have a penis. This was a sexually oriented toy meant for adults in front of minor children, the statement read. Quote, we are not trying to make money off this. If the toy was in a bar, it'd been a different situation, but this was a family restaurant with 13 to 14-year-olds. Yeah, because those guys are...
Right, who didn't even see it because they were looking at porn on Snapchat while the whole thing was going on.
They're too busy jerking off.
Right, exactly.
Touching themselves.
On a,
the officer, instead of writing a report, pulled out his pistol and pistol-whipped the woman. A judge let him go with no charges.
What a fucking weirdo.
This is a very weird story.
You're at one of these hibachi places, and the guy, you know, like when they throw, you know, they throw like two, like
the
a fucking
shrimp
tail on your head.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, so he grabs his little
squirts
her.
It's a little show. Yeah.
You know, she's offended. Could you imagine? Yeah,
first of all, she's calling it a sexual assault because
Come on.
Yeah. Now listen, if the chef took it and shoved it up your ass,
that's what I thought was going to happen.
That would have been a sexual assault. That would have been right. If he took the toy and just shoved it up her ass. Or like rubbed her nipple with it. That would be sex, you know. But if he just squirts and goes, ah, you got wet, you know.
I thought like someone else at the hibachi table like shoves something up.
Excited. I've got a ray gun in my.
I mean, people today.
Exactly.
This is the thing. You know what I mean? People today are fucked up. I just saw this video earlier, and I was looking at this story. It showed me the other video because it showed shit that's happening.
Yeah.
It was on Facebook earlier, but it was a Black Lives Matter, and it was a black woman there going, okay, all the white people that are here, go to the back. We want you at the back of this march. We want, you know, this is, we want black
better.
And brown people in the front, white people go to the back. This is, you know, and I thought to myself, if I was there, I would leave. Any white person that was there should have just fucking left. You know what I mean? And it's on.
Like,
video.
What is she trying to prove? We're so not racist that.
That's the thing. It's like, how can you sit there and you're basically here, you're marching in against racism in a sense. You want everybody, you know, everybody's equal. We want to be equal, but now you're trying to tell people.
I mean, was she doing it for a racist reason? Or she doing it because they wanted to show like unity, like all black people in the front? You know what I mean? Like,
but isn't that kind of stupid? You want to see white and black people walking together.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm trying to figure out what her motivation is.
I'm going to put this one down to ignorance.
This is just basic ignorance.
The problem with the Black Lives Matter movement, many of the people that are in the front of it are ignorant. This is the problem. This is the thing that's the issue with the fucking thing. You got too many people that are ignorant about this thing. There's an old guy, just I can't remember, it was in North Carolina. The guy was trying to walk down the street, and the ladies are sitting there like holding. No, you can't go through. He's like, I gotta get through. You know, it's an old guy. He's like in his 70s walking.
Right.
And they're going to make this old guy walk an extra block around. They can't go through here. You know what? Fuck that, man. I'm telling you, if I'm walking and there are a bunch of people sitting there going, you can't walk through here, that ain't going to happen. I'm button getting through that fucking line. I don't give a fuck.
That'll play well on the news.
I don't give a shit. I don't give a fuck. Listen, if you're in the streets and you're blocking streets, I'm running your ass, so I don't give a fuck. If I want to go somewhere, you know what I mean? Just get the fuck out of my way. How is stopping people on the road have anything to do with making the difference of showing how important Black Lives Matter?
It's bringing attention to it.
Yeah,
because you're now aware of it.
Yeah, well,
it's pissing more people off. I get it, but that's the tactic.
That's my point. These are ignorant people. Their tactics are ignorant. Their actions are ignorant, and most of the people that are running it are ignorant. And that's why it's not helping the cause. It's hurting the cause. And this whole movement's bullshit under a false premise under Michael Brown that was a thug. Let me ask you this: how do you feel about his mom being speaking at the DNC? How do you feel the fact about, you know, Michael Brown's mom and
how do I feel about it?
Yeah, how do you feel that she was brought up there to participate in something like this, where she's the mother of a thug, a known criminal that tried to kill a police officer? How the fuck does the Democratic
police, she was a mother who lost her child who was shot by a police officer,
right? In the middle of a crime, after just creating a strong arm robbery and not paying attention to the police when he was asked to leave the street and then attack the cop, try to take his gun and shoot him and then get shot. This is a woman that's going to get national attention on TV.
She's a mother who lost her son.
Yeah. Well, that's so much for the Democratic Party in this case. You know, it's fucking stupid. Speaking of racism, here's another story that came out. Miss Teen USA questioned about her racial slur. Did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, Was she decrowned? I mean,
no, she wasn't.
No, she wasn't. Matter of fact, the Miss Universe pageant said, or Miss Teen Universe pageant said, look, she admitted that this wasn't recently. This was from stuff she had put on.
No, 2013.
I'm thinking about the one that just happened with the woman getting her makeup done that disqualified her. There was the girl from Florida.
Yeah.
She was like crowned and then she got disqualified because they had she put a picture on her Instagram. Of like,
stupid Mexicans or something.
This had nothing to do with race. This had to do with like there was a guy like putting makeup on her. I guess it's against the rules to have a professional person like doing your makeup before the thing. And she put it on Instagram, like just getting a touch up before I go out there. And he was like a professional, and they saw it and disqualified.
That's weird. Are you serious? Because someone did her eyeliner. That's ridiculous.
What's
this? I didn't hear this racial thing. What's the racial?
Shortly after being crowned the new Miss Teen USA, Katie Hay of Texas. Got her first introduction into national spotlight after her win on Saturday. Social media users pointed out their repeated use of a racial slur in what appears to be her personal Twitter account back in 2013 and 2014.
Which was?
Users posted screen grabs from what appeared to be an account with her name and photo with several references to the slur, the N-word.
Oof.
The authenticity of that Twitter account could not be verified in the tweets. From the account are now private.
She basically confirmed it, though.
Was her. She said, look, she came out and said, look, I said some things, you know, whatever. But that doesn't do with how I. And it's interesting how words are so powerful, yet they shouldn't be. You know what I mean? Like,
I think if you're a public figure, they should be.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm going to judge somebody's character just by something that's said. If something's repeatedly said, which led to actions and people's actions, and you know what I mean, it's one thing. But if somebody just happens to say something, and you know, I'm not going to judge them on that one moment.
Yeah, but hold on. That word is totally different, though. I mean, that, you know.
Have you never used the word? You never said it?
No, I'm not saying I've never said it, but.
So if somebody recorded you and you just happened to say it, whether it was a joke or you're just joking, or it just came out and it was at a heat of the moment type of thing, if all of a sudden that came out and everybody looked at you as a fucking racist, they thought that of you, that wouldn't be a fair depiction of you, your true person, because of that one moment.
But I could understand why people who that word affects would look at me and say, if you use that word, you are by definition a racist.
Let's talk about this. More black people use the word than white people.
Okay, but
it's a word that to me
that's the key to you.
Well, listen, if I'm Spanish and I use the word spick all the time,
not even close.
I'm using it and somebody else uses it, I couldn't get mad at them.
But spick and the N-word don't have the same weight. They do not.
I don't know.
You can't argue that.
In this particular situation,
I think the only other word like kike. Kike would be the Jewish equivalent of nigger, wouldn't it? I think kike's a pretty strong word.
It's a very strong word, but I still don't think it has the same. I don't think it holds the same weight. I honestly don't.
I think that's the big one.
I mean, that is the motherfucker of racial
slur. Do a lot of Jewish people walk around using the word kike?
I don't think they use it.
I don't think they use it. And that's the strength of the culture. They recognize that. But if that culture uses that word all the time. It's almost like you're saying, we're using it. It's out there. It's the words being said.
It's very different. It's very different.
Everything's different, but it's not.
It's very different of what members of one community do amongst the other members of that community than what people outside of that community do. It's completely. You cannot equate those things.
Yeah, well,
you can't.
I know
you'd like to, but you can't.
No, I'm just saying that the word's used so much that you know it's used too much on that end. So you know the fact. And again, I don't like using any racial slur in that sense. You know, because it's demeaning in a sense, whether it's spick or anything like that. I saw my father knock a guy over a fucking car because he called him a spick one time. You know what I mean? Somebody calls me that.
So do you think he should have let it go?
I'm not going to make any decisions how anybody handles. I'm not going to tell anybody how they should handle the situation.
Well, but you're saying that you just said that if people judge me based on that word that I say, then, you know, they shouldn't, because that word's not that powerful. But you said your dad knocked somebody out because he said the word spick. So
yeah, because the guy called my dad a spick in front of my mother, and was yelling at him, and so, it had to do with
so
the
that
fact.
Word had weight to him, and it bothered him enough that he had became violent.
I don't know if it was just the word or just the fact that the guy was putting a car there, a tow truck, and da-da-da, and the guy was being an asshole, then he threw that out there. My dad said, that's it.
No whole situation.
Whether he just walked up and said, hey, spick, where am I put the car? My dad would have went, you know. But, you know, my point is that, if it's said, like in this case, she may have said something. She's a teenager, this and that. You know, is she racist? You know, and again, I think 95% of people are racist. Somewhere down the road, they're inside. They have racial tendencies. You know, you stick to your same. You know, you make differences and stuff like that. Whether you act upon them and do things and actions, that may be different.
Well, totally outside of like racial this or racial that. If she is competing in some sort of talent pageant, whatever. She needs to clear her social media completely.
Well, yeah, that's
right.
That's, I mean, so I kind of...
You're out in the spotlight, so you got to be expected.
Well, in with the Paula Deen situation years ago, I almost felt a little bad for her because she said that I've used it before and now all of a sudden her whole career is over. I almost felt a little bad. But then you have this girl who needs to clear her social media 100%. That is her fault. I don't even really have sympathy for her.
But the other thing is that, you know, once you become this person, this Miss Teen or, you know, whatever the hell it was, you are now representative of that group.
Right.
So it's like, you know, it's like saying, well, I just got a job at Bank of America, but I can still say whatever I want on social media.
Right.
Because you now represent the group that you are a part of.
And that's
of.
Why she didn't lose the title, because this was said a couple years ago, before, 2 or 3 years ago. And that somebody's trying to bring it up, now if she's given the title of that, and if she was to use it thereafter, then that she could be stricken her title, because she's supposed to uphold and represent somebody that's you know.
But even if she said it in the past, that's still tough, because that, you know, because now it's saying, well, you know, you're still representative of that group if you were that person in the past.
I think
here's a perfect example. David Duke wants to run for Senate. He was the former Klan's member, former leader of the Klan. Hasn't led the Klan in 30 years, but that's still part of who he is. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, that it's, you can't say, he doesn't do it anymore, so let's make him senator.
Well, I think it's a weak analogy when you're a leader of a clan versus throwing a word out. There's a big difference of commitment and what you're truly dedicated to.
But you just said, like, she uses in the past. Now, that, you know, that was a while ago. Now she's this thing. So if she uses it from this point on, then she shouldn't. But the point being is that, you know, if you're like that in the past, if you do those things are part of your reputation. It just is. I mean, you've done it. Your reputation is based solely on what you did in the past.
I don't agree with you. I believe in existential beliefs, and I don't believe what you just said. I think you could be a certain way now, and you could decide to change.
You can certainly change. But what I'm saying is, your reputation, everything that you have done prior to this moment, is part of your reputation.
Yeah, I just don't agree.
I think
with
every situation is different too. This girl was a teenager a few years ago, probably just was attention whore or whatever. This guy was a Klan member. Okay,
I'm not saying it's the same level of severity. Right. I'm not saying that, but what I'm
big.
I'm just making
the point of that's how reputation works. I mean, it's like you could have committed a crime 20 years ago and you know, reformed yourself and gotten out of jail, but you're always going to be an ex-con. Always. It's part of your past. It's part of who you are. You can't change it.
Right.
You can always be an ex-con. That doesn't mean you're a criminal.
Agreed.
That you're labeled an ex-con. You know, you could be labeled an ex-racist. I used to be racist. People say, "Listen, I used to be racist, and I've decided to."
A lot of people who didn't agree with gay marriage have you know, their feelings have evolved on the situation, and they're now for it. I mean, I get it. I'm not saying that people can't change it. I'm not saying that.
That's right, Hillary. All right, let's change the topic. $3 million lotto winner pleads guilty to using prize money to fund illegal meth ring. I won $3 million, and I'm going to use that money to sell meth. Says here, a Georgia man who
people
won millions
sell meth to get $3 million
in the lottery could face life in prison after pleading guilty to using portion of his prize to invest in a crystal meth operation.
What a fucking moron.
Seriously.
This is the guy that wins the lottery.
Isn't that why you get into drugs, so you can make a ton of money?
Ronnie Music Jr., 45, of Waycross, Georgia, pleaded guilty last week to federal drug and gun charges after U.S. attorneys presented evidence that he conspired with others to possess and distribute kilograms of methamphetamine, according to the State Department of Justice.
Can I get $1 million worth of Sudafed, please?
Yeah. In a bag.
What do you need my license for?
That in September 2015, music company's conspirators were caught attempting to sell approximately 11 pounds of crystal meth with a street value of $500,000. Federal agents seized over $1 million worth of meth a large cache of firearms, thousands of rounds of ammunition, multiple vehicles, and over $600,000 in cash as part of the case.
11 pounds of meth is worth $500,000?
Hmm.
That's pretty impressive.
Maybe we should get in the business.
Hmm.
Let's do it.
There was also a story, just a related story. There was a several people caught outside Walmart dressed in military fatigue and guns and everything. They had food and everything outside of Walmart because they were playing for Doomsday. That was their excuse.
Yeah, well, you know.
Outside of a Walmart fitting.
Yeah. Here's another story that this story kind of pissed me off. It was last week, and again, we didn't have the show Wednesday. I wanted to talk about it last week, actually on Thursday. But would-be Reagan assassin John Hinckley Jr. to be freed after 35 years. How do you feel about that, John?
Well, he was found not guilty by reason of insanity, or mental defect. So he was he was being treated for.
And now he's fine, and now he can go. Now
he presents no threat to society.
Right.
Well, technically, he didn't kill anybody.
Well, he fucked up Brady pretty bad.
Who have killed people have gotten out of jail. So,
right.
So just because he tried to kill the president doesn't necessarily mean he should spend the rest of his life in jail.
35 years after he shot President Ronald Reagan and three others outside a D.C. hotel, John Hinckley Jr. will be released from a government psychiatric hospital, a federal judge ordered on Wednesday. The ruling ends the institutionalization of the one of the nation's most notorious mental health patients.
And if you read further into the article, he's been going home. He's been on like a furlough program where he's been spending most of the time with his mother. And he's being released to the custody of his mother, and he has to stay there. He's not living on his own. He's not going. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Is he going
to
be under house arrest for a while?
No, he's on probation, I think, but not. But that's the thing. He was found not sound mind when he did it.
Wasn't it like Jodie Foster?
He was trying to impress Jodie Foster.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he was not. Because
he saw the
nuts.
Movie Taxi.
I guess he didn't know she was gay
times.
At the time.
Yeah. And technically, Reagan was actually hit by a bullet fragment which hit the doorframe. That's what happened with Reagan. He actually never shot Reagan directly. He was trying to shoot Reagan, obviously. But I've stayed at that hotel, the Hinckley Hotel. They call it the Hinckley Hilton.
Yeah.
It's in Washington. Yeah, I've stayed. And I went down to like where that entrance is and like saw the whole place. And
supposedly, they cited Spooky. Hinckley's successful completion of more than 80 visits over the past decade to Williamsburg. What began as supervised trips with family in the 1990s gradually were extended with court permission, so that Hinckley now spends up to 7 days a month at the home of his 90-year-old mother in a gated golf course development.
He started playing golf, which is now driving him crazy.
Yeah. He's going to kill somebody
this
now.
This fucking game!
Yeah, can you imagine?
I thought I was pissed before.
While playing golf, John Hinckley Jr. hit somebody with a golf club. Claims he fucking couldn't. He kept slicing it, so he's insane. He was 25 when he wounded Reagan. White House Press Secretary James Brady, U.S. Secretary Secret Service Agent Tim McCarthy, and D.C. Police Officer Thomas Delahunty with six exploding Devastator bullets from a .22 caliber pistol. A pistol off with a pistol. All survived the attack, but Brady was left paralyzed by the shot to his head and spent years before his death in 2014 advocating for gun control. So, he's out there. Hopefully he's going to be a good boy. Right?
Maybe. Living with his mother, so, I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, you can also make the argument that, taxpayers have been paying for his, treatment and care for the last, 30 years. Now it's off the,
That's true.
It's off the books.
That's right. Anyway, this is the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. We're having fun today. We're talking about depression, death, Zika.
Pandemic,
presidential assassinations. I mean,
what else can we talk about?
And for our third segment, Dougie's going to talk about his anal warts.
Yeah. John, I told you not to say anything about my anal warts.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I've been trying to kiss him to make him better.
I know. Well, you gave him to me, so.
Oh!
Anyway, while we're showering.
That's because I'm the pitcher and you're the catcher, bitch.
That's right. Well, you couldn't accept my dick.
Anyway. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's too big.
Or too small. I couldn't get it in.
Yeah.
Couldn't get it past my butt cheeks.
That couldn't happen. Anyway, we'll be right back.
This is Talia Brahms with the Wake Up Late with Dougie show, giving you your daily dose of feminine energy and making sure these guys don't kill each other.
And we're back to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show.
And now, for your dining and dancing pleasure, some international and domestic news you may or may not believe. It's straight from the headlines with Dougie Almeida.
Yeah, Welcome back to the show. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about stories from around the world and make fun of it. That's what we like to do. We're going to actually have some fun now.
Yes, I'm positive
well,
vibes.
Well, thank God for the last 8 minutes of the show, we can have some fun.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. Maybe not.
As he reads the first story. Yeah. Three children die in tragic carnival accident. Yeah. You like carnivals, John?
Exactly.
One with a Zika head.
Zika-headed baby gets heads, small head stuck in Tilt-A-Whirl.
Okay. Dunkin' Donuts worker accused of spraying donuts with bleach.
Yeah, this sounds fun.
Pleasant.
It's a good way for anybody on a diet. An employee at a Dunkin' Donuts in Virginia allegedly sprayed day-old donuts with a cleaning solution that contained bleach before giving them away to a group of teenagers who later ate them.
Now, how do they know?
The teenagers had previously received the store's leftover donuts for free, and they had returned to the Dunkin' Donuts back at this place. Someone at the store denied their request multiple times before eventually relented and told the teens to come back later in the day, police said. Before the group came back, that employee allegedly sprayed the donuts with a cleaning solution that contained bleach, and they handed them over to the teenagers.
They obviously got sick.
Before the group came back, that employee allegedly sprayed the donuts with a cleaning solution. Okay, the teens, it's like fucking. The teens ate anywhere from one bite to a whole donut, police said, before they realized something may be wrong with the food, and they called police. No one was injured, and a criminal investigation is ongoing.
So fucking stupid.
Oh, they called police right after?
Yeah, they noted, like, they could taste something was fucked up, right?
I mean, that at that point, I mean, that's like attempted murder.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I mean, you're like trying to poison somebody.
Right? I mean, could you imagine?
I mean, how stupid. God, people make such dumb decisions.
If you were really trying, like, just for argument's sake, if you were really trying to poison someone, wouldn't you not spray bleach directly on top of the donut? Like, no, wouldn't you find some way?
Yeah, you'd put polonium in it, just like Putin would do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just lace it with polonium.
Yeah, there you stick something in the donut. You're trying to say instead of on it. Either way, you're going to taste it.
Wouldn't you just, like, I don't know, mix some icing with antifreeze or something? Like, you just sprayed bleach right on top of the donut. Like, that wasn't a very...
That's a weak attempt.
That's what I'm saying.
See, what
that's
I would
what
do, see
at.
If I was trying to kill somebody, what I would do is I would sneak up behind them in the conservatory and hit them with a candlestick.
Yeah. By Colonel Mustard.
You know, they're getting rid of Mrs. White.
Right.
In Clue. Is it Mrs. White or Mrs. Scarlet? They're getting rid of one of the characters and they're replacing her.
Why?
In Clue. I guess because they're up to, because it's a maid, and I think they think it's like too derogatory. Oh, to, you know what I mean? Whatever. But and they're changing it. But what's interesting is and it's not the I don't know if you know this or realize this, but all the characters in Clue are colors.
Right.
So Colonel Mustard, Professor Plum, Miss Scarlet, you know, they're all colors, and this one isn't a color. And I was like, why would they do that? Why would they change that? You know?
Right.
This is the world we live in. Since we're on the topic of donuts, Florida man arrested.
Oh, I did see this.
Donut flakes test positive for meth.
Yeah.
Daniel Rushing probably won't be eating Krispy Kreme donuts in his car anymore. The 64-year-old was arrested on drug charges when Orlando police officers spotted four tiny flakes of glaze on his floorboard and thought they were pieces of crystal methamphetamine. Corporal Shelby Riggs Hopkins wrote in the arrest report that during a traffic stop, she noticed the flakes on the floorboard. Two roadside drug tests were positive for the illegal substance.
And that's where it's going to cause the biggest problem, is the fact that there was two roadside drug tests that said it was positive for methamphetamine.
Right.
And it wasn't. I mean, it was fucking Krispy Kreme glaze. So now all of a sudden you're going to get all these challenges in court on these roadside drugs. Because if they're failing 50% of the time or 75%, you know what I mean? Like,
when it's just icing.
Right.
It was incredible, Rushing said. It feels scary when you haven't done anything wrong and get arrested. It started on Friday afternoon when Rushing dropped off a neighbor at a hospital for a weekly chemotherapy session. Then he drove to a convenience store to pick up a friend who needed a ride home. Riggs Hopton said that she was staking out the area for drug activity. Rushing told her he had a concealed weapons permit, according to the arrest report. She asked him to step out of the car and noticed a rock-like substance on the floorboard. I recognized through my 11 years of training and experience as a law enforcement officer of the substance to be some sort of narcotic, she wrote. Rushing agreed to a vehicle search. I didn't have anything to hide, he said. I'll never let anyone search my car again.
Yeah.
You think like drugs and then donuts. Like a police officer should definitely identify one of the other.
I mean, who hasn't like eaten, you know, like
hey, saw in your car and it falls on the floor.
Like I remember one time, you know, I was eating like a powdered donut, right, in my apartment. Like I'm eating and breakfast and this and that. And some of the powder got on the tile floor.
Right.
Right. And my girlfriend at the time was like, "You doing cocaine in here?" I'm like, "What are you fucking talking about?" Like, I looked on the floor. I was like, "You're doing it here in the bathroom. You're coming in the bathroom." I'm like, "No, I just ate a fucking donut."
First of all, why are you eating a donut in the bathroom? Let's start there.
No, I was walking around with my breakfast. I wasn't eating. I'm in the bathroom now. I'm going to eat my donut.
Jerk off and eat sweets.
And number two, doesn't she know that you don't put cocaine on the floor? I mean, if you get it on the floor, you're on your hands and knees sucking that shit up.
Listen, if you haven't done that, like when you used to do coke, you do that and some fall on the floor, you know.
Yeah.
And you sit there and try to pick it up and like, "Oh, I got to get that one."
That was Frank who broke a vial of cocaine at Holloway's and broke it over by the door in the bathroom. It was a little glass vial and was literally on his hands and knees, like putting, you know, like dabbing, putting his mouth on the bathroom floor. And I was like, this was like a year and a half ago.
I don't care.
No, I'm just saying. I'm not saying he does coke anymore. You know, he doesn't do it anymore. But I was like, "Go." He's like, "Well, it wasn't over by the toilet." I'm like, "But piss gets on people's shoes and you're walking around there." He's like, "Oh, I didn't think about that." God, it was terrible. Oh, my God.
That is horrible.
He quoted as saying, "I keep telling him it's a glazed donut." He was charged with possession of methamphetamine with a firearm and spent 10 hours in jail before being released on bond. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement told the newspaper that an analyst in its Orlando crime lab didn't try to identify what police found in the car, only to determine whether it was an illegal drug. They determined it wasn't, and 3 days after Rushing's arrest, the state attorney's office dropped the charges. Rushing, who was retired after 25 years as an Orlando Parks Department employee, told the newspaper he has hired a lawyer and plans to sue the city because he was arrested for no reason at all.
I agree with him.
I would, too.
Yeah.
Right?
That's a really shitty situation.
I mean, you're not going to get that much money out of it. I mean, you know.
No, you're not, but I mean, you
know. Some sort of justice.
But at least you should get, you know, if there was any fees incurred, if you missed work, like all that kind of stuff. And the other thing is, what's interesting, because I read that like exact same article, was, so now the guy is at the point where if he gets pulled over again, somebody says, "I want to search your car," and he says, "No." You know,
yeah, they're gonna feel suspicious, right?
And you know, he has every right at this point to be like, "No, you're not serving."
You think he should take the newspaper article of this story and just keep it in his car? Look, let me tell you why I don't want to get pulled over.
Yeah, because because cops are so good at listening on the side of the road, they really want to hear your side of the story.
Here's another story: a woman robbed Wyoming bank to return to prison. Cheyenne. Wyoming, a woman who was recently released from prison in Oregon robbed a bank in Wyoming, only to throw the cash up in the air outside the building and sit down to wait for police and authorities.
She wanted to go back to jail.
Yeah. Investigators say 59-year-old Linda Patricia Thompson told them she wanted to go back to prison. Thompson said she had suffered facial fractures after strangers beat her at a Cheyenne Park last weekend. She said she couldn't get a room at a homeless shelter and decided to rob the bank Wednesday because she could no longer stay on the streets.
Well, that's like a thing. If you've been in prison for a while, it's hard to find your place after that.
Right. You got to get back into society.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's tough to maintain a life.
Maybe this is something my brother should do. Maybe he should go rob a bank and have his place to stay.
And unfortunately, we don't do a very good job of like helping reintegrate people. You know, it's basically like, "Hey, you've been in prison for 18 years. Now you're out. Good luck. You know, here's $20 and a bus and a bus pass."
Right.
Good. You know, go for it.
You know, I mean, it's hard enough as it is in a capitalistic society because you're competing. This isn't a socialistic society where everybody gets a place in there. You know, this is where you got to compete and you got to be different or more aggressive or do something than somebody else. So the people that are just sitting there expecting things to come are not going to, especially, so when you go to jail, what are you going to do?
Plus, it's difficult to get a job with that on your record.
Right. Like, oh, you're a former, you got to check off that box, right? You got to check, I'm a former felon.
Yeah.
Right? That's why this infrastructure build in our country, that should be something somebody should be doing, like trying to build and then give that work to a lot of the people. That should be those people should be first on the list, right? People that are former felons that can't find work. Laborers, you know, they were talking about, you know, they're talking about how, you know, if Trump has Mexicans go back and this and that, now who's going to do those jobs? Former felons. That's who should do the fucking job. Right? Some of you are going to be out there. Dude, you got a complaint. Got to go. That should be something you should get. That should be a job that should be left for those people. See, I just solved the problem. I should run for president.
That's all it takes.
Sadly, I'd vote for you over Trump.
Well, you should. Here's another story. It's so hot in New York that manure is bursting into flames. That's some hot shit. Mm-hmm. Thanks for your background.
I didn't say nothing.
No, it's a story. I mean, you know.
No, I get it. No, I don't think it said that's some hot shit in the story, but.
It's so hot in New York that manure is bursting into flames in Throop, New York.
Throop?
How hot is it in upstate New York? So hot that horse manure is bursting into flames. The State Department of Environmental Conservation says it received multiple complaints on July 5th about the smell of smoke emanating from burning piles of horse manure at a property in the town of Throop in the Finger Lakes region, 20 miles west of Syracuse. The responding officer learned that the owners of a horse stable been storing the manure in large piles that frequently spontaneously combust in the excessive heat and dry conditions.
Yeah, it's like, you know, when like you compost, you know, and it smolders, you know what right. I mean? Because, yeah, I can see that. I can see. If it's, you know, it's not just like one little pile on the ground that's bursting. It's like if you have a huge amount of it, you know, it'll start to kind of organically. Because like all the bacteria and stuff that's in it is giving off gases and, right. and you know.
Right. Yeah, so. All the methane.
Officials say shift and the prevailing winds carry the odor of burning manure into the neighbor's window.
Jeez, I wonder what that smells like. Like horse shit smells bad enough, it's like you burn it.
And it right? fell through the neighbor's window.
It's just like, geez, I just wish the regular horse shit smell would come back.
Yeah, oddly enough, the husband that lived in the house is tired of saying, honey, it's not me.
Yeah.
God. It took three local fire department 2 hours to douse the burning manure.
Well, you got to really get in there.
Yeah, now you imagine spraying with a big hose and it goes everywhere?
Imagine coming into work with that job to get called into.
Billy, you got to go put the shit out. Who's working the shit pile shift this week?
Police.
You meet a girl at a bar. What do you do for a living?
Well, I had a rough day at work today.
Yeah.
Real shitty day.
The shit pile wouldn't stop burning.
Boy, did I have to deal with some real shit today.
Yeah, exactly.
The shit wouldn't stop burning. Tell me about your day.
Stop eating at Taco Bell. Bridal shop co-owner stood naked in a store window, police say.
Okay. So,
yeah, you got to do something. Boy, what are these fucking... Zelenople? Pennsylvania? Zelenople. Zelenople. The co-owner of a bridal shop has been charged with an indecent exposure after three women reported him standing naked next to mannequins in the store's display window.
Why?
They thought he was a mannequin until he started to rise to the occasion.
Until his penis started going up and down. Authorities said three women saw him on July 20th at One Enchanted Evening in Zelenople. Zelenople. Pennsylvania, which offers bridal, prom, and pageant fashions. One woman provided a cell phone photo that she took 100 photos. One Enchanted Evening website shows it closed at 4 p.m. that day. 54-year-old Peter Scolari of Cranberry Township was charged with open lewdness and disorderly conduct.
Peter and his Peter.
Peter showing his Peter. Police said he smelled of alcohol.
Shocker.
Yeah. Scolari told them he consumed two drinks. That's always the excuse. I only had two.
On a place called Cranberry Township. I think that's
yeah. Yeah.
Only had two.
Cranberry and Vodka Township.
They were in 64-ounce Slurpee cups that I had left over.
Yes, and I drank them through a straw. Yeah, court documents don't list any attorney. A listed number for Scolari couldn't be found Wednesday, and message left at the shop was immediately returned. Yeah, that could fuck up. That could fuck up your business.
You think?
Oh, that'll bring people. I mean, there might be some people waiting in line out.
Hey, where'd you get that dress? Oh, the dick store.
It's like he was drunk. Don't worry. Like, who decides to do that when they're wasted?
I was just thinking that. I'm like, I mean, how wasted do you have to be to be right. like, you know what? I'm gonna, you know, and okay. Let me say this.
Fuck a fat chick. Do what everyone else does.
If you're with your buddies and it's like something that your buddy's like, hey, fuck you, I don't think you'll, you know, you won't go press ham up against the window at Denny's. You know what I mean? Like, okay. Like, you're doing it for a reason. But if like you're like alone and you're like wasted, it's like, hey, you know what a good idea would be?
And you're at your own shop.
And you're at your own shop. Let me take off all my clothes and go stand in the fucking window. Like,
I wonder if anybody will notice.
Like, how trash do you have to be to think that that's a possibly a good idea?
And there's somebody outside going, wow, that mannequin looks so real.
Yeah.
Jeez. It's like the Pirates of the Caribbean, that pirate's leg that hangs over with the hair on it. Yeah, here's a cute little story we'll kind of end the day with. Dog crashes car into Walmart. That's the dog John was taking care of.
Yeah, exactly.
Cute story. Here's a cute story.
In Wayne, West Virginia, a story we first reported last week has been getting shared all over the country and beyond. Shops say a car accident at the Wayne Walmart played out like a scene straight from a cartoon. Friday afternoon, an elderly woman left her car running in the parking lot so her two dogs could stay cool while she went in and shopped. But the apparently impatient dog somehow knocked the car out of gear, and it went rolling into the front of the building.
The woman was surprised because she said, I don't even know my dogs could drive stick.
Yeah, they won't even fetch. Only in Wayne County could someone or something like this happen, shopper Tiffany Bowen said. Hundreds of comments have been posted to the story in our Facebook page. Yeah, can you imagine? It's funny. You're sitting there. Like, I'm trying to remember. There was a similar story to that. That there was something going on in the car. I think it was a dog. I've heard the story before a while back. The dog's running around, like, jumping around. Yeah. It hit the fucking thing, and it went into a canal.
Aww.
And then somebody saved the dog. They didn't know if anybody was in it.
What happened to the car?
I'm
just kidding.
Insurance.
Yeah, how does a dog now? I mean, she must have left it in neutral.
I'm trying to think of the layout of this parking lot, too, that all you have to do is just knock it out of gear and then, bam, you're in a window or you're in a door.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, and again, we've seen a bunch of these stories about people that leave their dogs in the car.
Yeah.
There's a couple that died. And I saw some stuff on Facebook or online that they show somebody coming and breaking the window to let the dog out. I mean, fucking asshole. You know what I mean? You can't leave anybody. Kids. You know, how many stories of kids dying?
Dude, I took my dad to the airport this morning, and the big light up signs on the roadway that tell you like traffic situation. They have, I guess, they're running a new campaign. It says never ever leave a child in the car alone.
Right.
It's like we got to put this on the fucking highway. Right. I mean, we need to tell people this.
Right.
I mean, how sad is that?
You got to tell people that. And you got to tell people that during a national anthem at a sporting event to take their hat off.
Yeah. Wow.
I saw a sign the other day when I was driving, and it said, like, oh, keep your eyes on the road. Don't play Pokemon Go. It's like, really? This is something that the entire county needs to be aware of when they're driving?
Yeah. Well, that's us as a human. That's where we come as a human race.
That's the dumbing down of society.
There you go.
There was, like, government dollars spent towards putting this up to remind us not to play Pokemon Go when we're driving.
By the way, that game is faded out.
Oh, that's what I said. It was me 3 weeks.
It's kind of faded out. Thank God. And a lot of people that bought Nintendo stock thought the thing was going to rally. It has fallen because,
well, it turns out Nintendo didn't even make it.
Does it? Right?
They just licensed it.
They own like 20% or whatever it is of it. Anyway, by the way, that's all we have time for here on the Wake Up Play with Dougie show.
Aww.
Gonna thank John Levine for joining us today.
Always a pleasure.
Of course, Talia Brahms.
Thanks for having me, Doug.
Don't forget this week's Wise Guys Comedy Show at Tavolino's this Wednesday. I'll be your host along with Spunky Robinson, and of course, headliner Lenny Travis will be there. On Saturday, catch me at Doubles Beachside along with my opening act, Perry Sack, in Melbourne, Florida. I'll be there this Saturday night. And don't forget, next week on Tuesday, August 9th, I will be at the Laugh Your Asheville Comedy Festival. So go to Laugh Your Asheville off, and I'll be there on Tuesday at the 8 o'clock show or something like that.
Sweet.
Then I'm going to be in Johnson City Comedy Zone, Johnson City, Tennessee, that Friday and Saturday. For more dates, go to DougieAlmeida.com. And follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Dougie Dangerous. Follow the show at Wake Up Dougie. You can follow John at
JohnLevineComedy.com.
And Tali B Comedy, both on Facebook and Instagram.
There you go. Don't forget, tomorrow back in the studio will be Peter Leonard and Elgin David. And Lenny will be joining me on Thursday's show. Haven't seen Lenny here with Lenny on the show. So we got a fun week planned for you. So thanks for listening. Follow us on Stitcher and iTunes. Subscribe to us. Wake Up Late with Dougie Show at Podbean.com. And, of course, on our Facebook fan page. To get all that, you can just go to that, and we'll put the link on there, and you can listen. There you go. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you here tomorrow at the same spot. Adolf builds a bonfire, Enrico plays with it. Whistling tunes, we hide in the dunes by the seaside. Whistling.
dudes with kissing baboons in the jungle. It's a knockout. If looks could kill, they probably will. In games without frontiers, war without tears.